You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You know, what was Carolina thinking letting a Calder finalist go?
Well, you know, that's you'd have to ask them why they were comfortable doing that. I don't know.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's going on, boys? Another fun one, eh? all right. Yeah, we get to have fun tonight. All right, it's Thanksgiving Eve. I guess if there's any Canadians out there, you have a day of football to watch tomorrow. So that's always fun. But what are we thankful for? You got to drill it down, right? Because we could start talking about Ned, start talking about Lucas Raymond. Of course, we've loved everything we've seen from Warren Sider so far. And hopefully I'll have Mike joining me here in a little bit. He should be on his way. But what are we thankful for? We're thankful for the man that's putting it all together. God damn. Clearly, we just, you know, the last episode we were in, we were just introducing the idea that we're back in the fight for Shane Wright. But this is it, right? This is where we have to come to that realization that it's what Mike said makes the most sense through that episode. We're a 500 team. So, of course, there's going to be ebbs and flows. A 500 team has the highs and they have the lows. Didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. So since it's just me right now, and I'm going to be stumbling through this. I did see, we already had some good questions going on in the chat. So why don't we focus there until, Mike's able to join us if he does. But Jared threw out there, who are the first, second and third stars? I don't know if anybody answered that question, for Jared, but I know we can look it up on the app. But I got to tell you guys, if your first star tonight was not Nedeljkovic, you're doing hockey wrong. this is something where we're going to take a look at the analytics as well. And I'm pretty sure Ned's going to finish with plus 96% save percentage, at least the last I looked. That's what I was seeing. Oh, you know what? The Red Wings just tweeted it out. That's pretty nice. No, they didn't. They just tweeted out number three. All right, so I guess Fabry was number three star. I don't know. That's kind of a wet fart pick, right? Got an empty netter. I don't know. Wouldn't you give it to Bertuzzi for that pass? But anyway, your number three is Robbie Fabry. Number two, D-Boss. And number one, like I said, should be Ned. Ned all the way. I mean, it was highlight reel save after highlight reel save. It's goes well beyond analytics tonight. This was where we had some of our friends on Twitter that were thrown out there, Jake Rivard, that this was some Hasek-like goaltending. And hyperbole be damned, right? That's your upper echelon. That's your elites of the elites that you're comparing him to. But how do you watch that game and not have that thought? Like, it wasn't just about having like a sound technique. It wasn't just about having, you know, a pretty good save percentage. Ned was playing balls off the wall. I mean, jumping from one side of the post to the other, or I should say one side of the net to the other, blocking shots. It was crazy. It really was disgusting when you think about it. I mean, it's something where that has to happen because this team just was not playing well in their own zone. But everybody, here to welcome my good brother. There he is, Mike.
Woo! Yeah.
What Matt, a win.
Last episode, the season was over. And tonight,
and we're back. No,
we're back.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of discussing why or who could be more deserving of the first star than Ned, but
that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, Nedeljkovic. Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna try and pull up that first save that really blew everybody's mind. And what really sucks about trying to be the guy that keeps track of this stuff and posts it on Twitter so I can get free likes, because it's a great, you know. I'm pretty much just stealing for the Detroit Red Wings. But then I didn't get to see the next save that everybody else was talking about, which wasn't as great as this one once I did finally see it. But, I mean, it was a beaut.
Yeah, and I think Osgood was touching on it, too, after the game. This is important stuff to see, right? Because as much as we might like Grice, I mean, Nedeljkovic, ideally, because of how young he is, we would like to see you be the future of this team. And this was, you know, just another notch on that resume about, you know, what he can bring to the table. And it was kind of cute that Kenny and Mickey were bringing up, you know, he's wearing 39, right. You know, Hasek's number. He's, you know, he kind of looks like him too. Like, oh, you dirty dogs, don't call him the Dominator. But I mean, stylistically, I think you could definitely see where he apprenticed himself a little bit to the way Hasek played, right?
This is why we're brothers, because I had just finished saying that before you signed on.
No kidding.
So really? But this is, I started the show with this, but I'm assuming not everybody saw it. But this is as good a time as any, Mike, with the points you're making, with this guy having to, I mean, the hope is that he grabs the reins to become our future. We come back to my favorite clip of Steve Yzerman and Yzerplan history is the question from Brad Galley. What was Carolina thinking? And Steve's answer.
You know, what was Carolina thinking letting a Calder finalist go?
Well, you know, that's an, you know, you'd have to ask them why they were comfortable doing that. I don't know.
That'll go down in history as one of the best answers.
We really need to add their GM, I think.
I think we did.
Every time we reshare that.
It really is just a question that Carolina would never even want to attempt to answer. But yeah, they I don't want to say they screwed up because I'm pretty sure they're happy right now. But I mean, they probably could have asked for a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
Happy where they're at in the standings right now, but
I know
giving up a third
round,
be
even higher. Yeah. I don't know if you got into your second, third stars. I assume Larkin was probably in there in some capacity.
Yeah, Robbie Fabry was number three.
Can I pick somebody else?
Yeah, go ahead. Anybody else? I'm fine with that.
If you were on Instagram and just kind of watching the game in the background, you did yourself a disservice. I hope you had the volume on, because I would give the third star to that little Caesars Arena crowd.
Ooh, look at you getting
this
brown nose points.
This
I'm gonna call them brownie points, but
brownie nose points. this team, you know, we all got really excited the first, you know, couple weeks of the season. We're like, wow, you know, maybe we'll be, you know, maybe that eighth seed. Maybe we're coming up, and then we got that rude awakening with that road trip. But the other thing to keep in mind was, you know, the Red Wings played, God, what was it, like 20 games in like 37 days, something like that. So more than a game every other day. Jared, thanks for calling out the beanie, bro. Yeah. But I mean, these were tired legs playing on average more than a game every other day with the back-to-backs. And so I don't think it was a surprise that, you know, we had the couple days off to get some practices in. And then additionally, we got some home cooking. And this wasn't, you know, a quiet arena. This was a raucous, big drinking night the day before Thanksgiving arena. And they were singing along. They were cheering. There's authentic Let's Go Red Wing chants. And I think that that definitely helped kind of energize that whole team. And they needed a game like this after that road trip.
There's something that just popped in my head, but I want to keep everything positive before I jump into this. This was something for us. I think we'd have to go back to what we said in the last episode, and maybe we're not tucking our tail completely between our legs here, but it was even mentioned by, and I hope you're watching right now so you can call it out and say I was the one that said that. Just throw it up in the comments, but it was mentioned to us, Mike, not to forget that when we were on that losing streak, we were winding down from the most games played in the NHL so far through the season. So if you want to talk about toughness of a schedule in regards to your quality of your opponents, that's one thing. But to just have the most games played, especially with as young a team as you've got, and with what Jeff said so many times, was you start to get away from the basics and your routines break down. You know, the go-to plays kind of escape your mind as you fight exhaustion. Like stamina becomes your biggest battle while you're on the ice, and you forget to do the strategy that was built before the game even started. So I think what we saw tonight, at least, was, I know Ned bailed him out a lot, but at least in that third period, we saw, you know, the Blues immediately tie the game up, make it 2-2. But we saw a lot of offensive fire. And, you know, maybe puck should have gone in tonight for Philip Sundin again, who led the team in expected goals for percentage. He actually led the game, I think, in expected goals for percentage. But then you get, you get one back, right? If Sedina is going to be completely screwed out of a goal for the entire season or for the rest of the season, you got to figure that's where Adam Ernie comes in and just whips one at the net. Pews just happened to be screening the goaltender at the exact right time. And, the puck goes in. That's probably worth me searching the old mentions for the for the Ernie goal.
On that streak too, it felt like the Red Wings were suddenly without any depth, right? It looked like it was, if the first line didn't score, it was going to be a rough night. But you know, I know one of the goals was empty net, but Fabry still had to hit one at a really tough angle. You know, Ernie, like you mentioned, wasn't the hardest shot in the world, but sometimes you don't need the hardest shot in the world; you just need it in the right spot. And so we kind of had production kind of spread out throughout the lineup a little bit. It always makes me feel a little bit better instead of, you know, hoping that Bertuzzi has another 2 or 3 goal night, or, you know, just, my God, that we have to hope that little kid Lucas Raymond has to carry a team of grownups. You know, I know he can, but I just, it makes me feel better watching a little bit of diversity on the stat sheet.
Yeah, it kind of felt like the quintessential Red Wings game. You're getting Ned standing on his head. Ned on his head. You had Lucas and Bertuzzi doing some, you know, amazing, just the magic that they've been able to create so far this season. It just kind of, I don't know. To me, I was ready for the puck bounces to kind of take us down, and we're going to lose this game. But it was this Ernie goal that I think maybe breaks our puck luck, breaks the old it's just what made it not like the regular bummer of a Red Wings game. Like this puck going in and hitting the back of the net is that big difference maker for us. And you're right about the Fabry empty net goal. But this is another thing we have to come back to. Mike, those are the good things. And I am willing to say, like, yes, they got the practices, and they aren't quite ready to enter that fight for Shane Wright, maybe, But I did hail your comment from the last episode where you said, you know what they look like is a 500 team. It goes back and forth. And some nights you're going to have great nights and some nights not so great. But Mike, I think we could still make an argument here. Moritz Seider turns in his absolute worst night so far from an expected goals for percentage. It did not look great. So far, the chemistry for Osterley and Seider is pretty far from the Nick Leddy levels. Mike, I mean, we talk about if anybody's watching this or listen to it. Sorry, if anybody's listening to this right now. So this is for all you podcast listeners. You're always looking for that 50% expected goals for to kind of be like that's your measuring stick there. That's where you're at even. Moritz Seider, Mike, turns in an 11% tonight for expected goals for, paired with Jordan Osterley, who comes in with a 16% expected goals for the game. Not great. not great, Mike. Yeah. We had been begging for Danny DeKeyser to take a break, and COVID did the work for us for tonight. We do hope Danny's okay, but so far, Mike, if we're measuring it on this game, and I know Osterley's had his chances to, he's gotten some minutes with Seider earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. This wasn't it. I don't know. I don't know what anybody else saw. I hope I didn't miss something while I was watching this game. I thought to myself at one point during the game that I was like, what did happen to Moritz Seider? Did he completely disappear from this? And then I take a look at this and I go, oh, that's what's going on. So I think it's worth a mention only because we're going to talk out of both sides of our mouth and say, yes, the rest certainly helped. We got some great chances from the first line, and there was a good opportunity there where Ernie just decided to throw the puck at the net. But the majority of these guys got outchanced and outplayed on 5-on-5, and we gave up a power play goal. So there's a pretty good argument to be made here, Mike, that, I mean, this still wasn't a great game. And when you see Nedeljkovic on his head like he was so many times tonight, that kind of lends to that narrative a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think we played a more talented team. I don't think there's really any dispute in that, but right. I think if you get a little home cooking, you can kind of skirt by statistics like this, where maybe on a neutral ice, if we were just playing out in the the mountains of Canada somewhere with no witnesses, we'd probably have gotten shellacked. But there's the human element involved, and when you're a 500-ish team, it looks more and more like what the Red Wings' MO is going to be this season. This just kind of, helps support that thesis.
I will say this, getting out chance thoroughly. We also got out power played. Mike, we go another game with zero power plays. Somehow the other team just is immaculate against our opponents just do, they don't take penalties against us. So I saw it mentioned on Twitter a few times. That may have swayed things in a direction closer to even, but even the statistics I'm talking about are 5-on-5 only, but at least maybe, and I pointed this out at the beginning of the second period, maybe one or two power plays coming our way would have given Ned a breath, once or twice. Would have given us an opportunity to kind of reset there and focus in a different direction for a little bit. And I don't know. Maybe that's what Seider needs every once in a while to reset. I don't know how to dissect this, but we just are not getting, we're not getting calls either. We're not getting bounces, and that's clear because we have a pretty good expected goals for percentage and total. And that goals, the actual goals for, does not measure anywhere near that number. And when it comes to the refs trying to even things out, it just doesn't happen.
So I guess I have a question for you. Yeah. Is there would you say there's almost a direct correlation between, I got to imagine you have a tougher time winning if you have tons of penalty minutes. Do you know if historically that correlates, where if you aren't getting penalties called against you, you're also not a very good team, because maybe you're not putting enough pressure on to make the other team feel like they have to, you know, interfere or trip to prevent a goal?
Yeah, I mean, from like top to bottom. And we talk about the 5-on-5 statistics where we got outplayed, or I can make that argument. If the other team has the puck and they're out possessing you and out chancing you, you're going to be the one that's getting the power plays. But it still goes, you know, it's still one of those things. Like when you go back to like the NFL and they say every passing play, there's like 15 penalties that could get called. It's not like there isn't a penalty that they're just playing a perfect game. That's not what's happening. And also, if you look at that Moritz Seider penalty late in the game, that was some weak ass baloney. That was not a strong penalty to call, especially when it was already 0-2 in the power play count. Mike, can you believe it? DraftKings is recognizing our favorite sport. We do a podcast about hockey, and we are finally able to discuss the fact that they're an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Let's go, right?
That's what I'm ready to say. Matt, I've had enough talking about the other sports. Stop for a big boy sport. The NHL! That's National Hockey League. That season is underway. DraftKings Sportsbook, an unofficial sports betting partner of the National Hockey League, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice, nay, the greatest sport on earth. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper, or a slapper, maybe, or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win.
What if it's some nasty sauce? All right, go.
What if it's an empty netter? Still counts on the stat sheet, my man. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I was just going to give you three teams from the top and the bottom. You ready for this?
Go.
For most penalty minutes this season, and I know contextually, like we talked about, some of these teams have played a lot more games, but top three for like game right now for penalty minutes, games played 19, 21, 18. Number one, I don't think there's any surprise that it's Arizona. Number two, Montreal. And these are the teams that have the most penalty minutes called on them. Number three is Tampa. And number four is the Kraken. So it kind of feels like Tampa's kind of a weird outlier here. And then to look at the teams with the least amount of penalty minutes called against them, Matt, 32 is the Kings. And then we have the Penguins, Capitals, Maple Leafs, and Bruins. Yeah, that stat is all over the map.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up myself right now, and I'm seeing different numbers, so I...
Uh-oh. See, my problem is I went to NHL.com. You probably went to a more reputable source.
Well, I bet Hockey Reference.
Yeah, that's the problem. There you go. I shouldn't have gone to NHL.com. That was my first mistake.
Well, it's funny because now that I'm looking at this, power play opportunities against. So we're taking this conversation into areas it doesn't need to go into at all, because it's going to go against, I guess, where our argument was going. So power play opportunities against, right? So they're out of penalty killing situation. This is crazy. Top four teams: Carolina Hurricanes, Calgary Flames, Florida Panthers, Washington Capitals.
Woo!
What? So that, yeah, thanks, Hockey Reference. All right.
Yeah, we got to do some real digging through that statistics. I thought we had something there.
Well, they all have great penalty kill percentages too. So that that's more or less where you want to go for who's successful and who's not. But I know what you're talking about. Like, what, it's just the hypothesis did not match.
And that's test, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to dig my heels in if the numbers say otherwise. That's okay.
Yeah. All right. Where are we going next with this conversation? This is all over the place. I got to go to the comments because I'm not sure.
We haven't had a comment up here. Let's get those in here.
Yeah, we've gotten a ton of comments. Mike, Ernie and Zadina doesn't sound bad. I think there was I saw another comment for putting lines together, and I'm trying to find that. But Ernie and Zadina playing on the same line, is that we could start with performance art there. I'm pretty sure that delved into some deeper line combinations, but that's the first one I could find here. Sorry to whoever threw in that first comment. Mike, Ernie and Zadina playing together, what do you think? That means probably Fabry's getting a demotion.
Or Ernie is technically on the wing, right?
What was that?
Ernie's technically on the wing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that really matters as much. I still feel like the issue is who's playing center. Because I just wish that we could afford to have Zadina, you know, maybe bump down to a second or third line with, you know, down to the second line. It's more about who's ever playing center for me. So I'm not against that idea to see if that finally gets some pucks to go in. But I still think that the issue is... I don't know if Puce should be up that high. And we, you know, we haven't seen a lot from our favorite number 27, Matt. And now we don't even have Mitchell Stevens to try out. I don't know what we're going to get out of Valeno. Did I get Rasmussen's number right?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay.
Being sarcastic?
No, I wasn't. I think Zadina's just going to have to, you know, hang out for a bit until we get a center.
Well, yeah, if we go back to the evolving hockey and the expected goals for percentages for tonight's game, Moritz Seider was second worst. Worst was Michael Rasmussen. Turns into 7.53%. The only expected goals for percentage. Yeah, you don't see numbers that low too often. I gotta say. And as high as Zadina's is at 79.44, you don't see that too often either. But Zadina's been turning in a lot of those. I don't know. We're obviously you want to give this a full season if we're going to talk about Zadina again before you want to like make a real determination of what's going on, because you don't want to look at a guy who's on the ice, limits chances, gets a ton of chances on net, and then we're like, well, he just sucks because the puck doesn't go in. Like, no. Surely there's an argument that could start in that direction. Like if we found out he's never going to score again and we knew that, of course we don't want him on our team. Like what if, you know, if you could look ahead, Mike, and see that Zadina, when he's on the ice, a puck will never go in the net again. Of course you don't want him on your team, but there's nothing in the analytics that suggests that would ever happen. If anything, all it does is suggest that at one of these days, it's going to be an 8-goal night.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do the Red Wings Rant listeners, do you all put Zadina in the same bucket as a Rasmussen? Because I feel like when you watch Rasmussen, you're like, oh, he just can't skate, so this is kind of his ceiling. But Zadina, is there a consensus that we all kind of feel he's snake bit, right?
I mean, I hope everybody's thinking that. I do still get the tweets. I got one earlier today that said that he was horse duty. Performance art coming in. He wanted to do Fabry, Ernie, and Zadina. So
is it Fabry at the center performance art?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Fabry. Remember Fabry turned in part of the season. Actually, even had some center shots.
It just doesn't seem like the Red Wings are super high on him being a center.
I think they saw enough last year, right? Like if you're gonna go at a 40% clip, you get to say that's not a 30% clip in the faceoff dot. And then I mean, if he's going to help produce some offense, I'd say it's fine.
I mean, I'm a big time mark for Fabry, man. Big time mark. But I always feel like they feel better putting him on the wing.
Eric throws out there, Zadina is snake bit, soap dish. Z is a high end player playing with third liners. There's so much truth to that.
Do you know what Zadina kind of looks like to me? He looks like when Larkin was playing by himself when Mantha and Bertuzzi were both out. It looks like a talented guy just kind of playing with himself. So soap dish, I'm right up there with you. I agree.
Now soap dish doesn't want to put Fabry at center. I still think if it's about trying to find or make something work here, I'm fine putting Fabry at center after he played almost all of last season at center and then a little bit this year. I mean, Fabry was their go-to again when Dylan Larkin goes down. So I gotta believe that they don't hate it too much. It's just not their go-to. They signed Pew Suter to be a center. So clearly that wasn't their favorite thing, but I don't know if you look at Pew Suter, you look at Rasmussen right now. I mean, Valeno got hurt today. So we'll find out later, you know, what that means going forward. I wouldn't say I'm like totally in love with Joe Valeno, and he absolutely needs to play on the second line either. So if Fabry's getting a shot at center on the second line, I'm fine with it because I'm just at this point, I've got a jumble of darts in my hand and I'm going to throw them at the dartboard to see what works. Cause we've got a first line. And even though we talked about it in the last episode, that's probably the last thing Jeff's going to do is break up that first line to make Zadina work. So give that a shot first and then break up the first line.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be for me, Zadina, Puce and Ernie. Just try to let Ernie kind of, you know, bang around. Zadina do some playmaking and Puce, man, maybe this combo will work. And maybe that's where I would try like Fabry centering the third line with a Rasmussen and a fill in the blank on the other side.
And to answer Doc's question, Valeno did not finish the game, I believe, after the second period. So, we I don't know exactly what happened yet. Maybe they asked in the press conference and we have an answer. I can pull up good old Max Boltman here. See if he has any updates.
Friend of the show?
Friend of the show, Max Boltman. That's right. I don't see anything yet. But yeah, Doc, looks like at least he's out. He was out for the rest of this game after the second. Hopefully it's not longer. That's a whole nother bag of worms. Mike, you ready to bring up Berggren if Valeno's out? Or are you going to be doing Chase Pearson because he's more of a fit on the fourth line than Berggren would be?
Matt, this season doesn't matter. Give me Berggren. Let him learn. This doesn't matter.
How about Zadina, Fabry, Berggren? There's your second line. 50 goals each for each one of those boys to end the season.
I thought you were going
to
say on both sides of the ice. 50 goals in, 50 goals out.
Well, you got Fabry out there, 50-50. So clearly. I mean, yeah, those are way more fun conversations. Let's you know, instead of focusing on Valeno being hurt, let's focus on who's coming up next. And number one on my list of who I want to see is Berggren. And probably last on the list of who we're going to see is Berggren. I would bet, what is it, dollars to donuts? Is that the turn of phrase that we see Chase Pearson over Berggren? Yeah, Doc wants to see him too.
Yeah, I mean, Chase will probably get called up, and it'll be a collective mouse fart, if I can quote a Stephen King movie. I don't know. I don't think anyone's clamoring to see him, are we?
All right, here we go.
Is it going to be Hirose again, Matt, getting a cameo?
No, because they're going to need somebody with some center experience in there. So Berggren has the center experience over in Sweden, and then yeah, Chase is just, you know, he's it. I think he's the fourth line center. I thought that he would get a shot before Mitchell Stevens, and then we saw how great Mitchell Stevens was. All right, so Jared, what do we got here? Second line of A plus minus of zero. Oh, that's what you're doing. I thought you were naming Elon Musk's next baby. I was gonna ask what the hell was going on there. That's not an O. You don't owe that. He's got that stupid name for his baby. Where it's
all right. I'll give you credit for that one, man. I'll give you credit for that.
Oh, not Elon Musk.
Class it up, man. Not our overlord. Come on, man.
Soap Dish is on board for some Bergeron action.
But again, isn't Bergeron on the wing?
No reason to rush him, though. Damn it, Soap Dish. Don't
stop being so pragmatic and rational. Damn it. But he's got a lower chance of coming up, right? Because he plays more on the wing.
Yeah.
And Chase actually plays center.
If you look at his draft page, his draft prospectus, it was center / right wing. And then he's been moseying on over to right wing ever since. Ever since he did get drafted, so there's experience there, like I said. But I doubt that with him playing so much time on wing that they're gonna go, you know what? Call him up to the NHL, have him center line in his first go. I do like the Fabry at center and doing.
Is Tristan here tonight?
I don't see Tristan, unfortunately.
Only reason I ask is I forgot that Red Savage also plays center. One of his heroes.
Yeah, I doubt we're going to see Red.
I mean, he's not lighting it up, but, you know, he's got a cool name. So.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. That's just, I can't imagine. Like, how many different hoops are we going to have to jump through to make that happen?
Quite a few.
I know. All right. I'm kind of stalling out here. I know we have some pre-vacation episodes we need to record, Mike. So, everybody, if you want to throw in your parting thoughts or tell us, you know what, Mike? Tell us what you're most thankful for, Mike, because I gave my answer. Maybe you've got a similar one, and then I'll let you know what I said at the start of the show.
Yeah, I got a real cheese ball answer. I am not just thankful for the Red Wing rant faithful here, but my God, it's been years since we had watchable Red Wing hockey where I don't just maybe turn on the highlights, you know, for a few minutes. I'm geared in, I'm focused, I'm distraction free to watch like competitive hockey. As long as you're watching a home game, don't turn on the road games. But as long as you're watching a home game, Matt, I'm thankful that I can finally say, you know, I'm a Red Wing fan out loud. It's not an embarrassment. They look formidable at times.
Yeah,
you can see the flashes of what the team can look like when they're back on top.
No, you're right. I at the beginning of the show, I said it's got to be the Iser plan kind of. I mean, it's like a similar answer, right? Because it's coming to fruition. So it's something where you could look at Ned, celebrate what a great trade that was. You could look at Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond and say, man, these guys look so good. NHL 22 was forced to upgrade the overall of Lucas Raymond finally. And, you know, all right,
72. There you go.
He's an 84 now.
Wow.
He's a big boy.
Nice.
So you could look at all those little individual parts, but certainly it's gotta be having one of the best GMs in the NHL. Yeah, as we kind of wrap up here, Jared's pointing out that Pearson does have 10 points in 14 games so far for Grand Rapids, who is 6-5-2 right now. He continues to point out, I still think Chase is our man. I think, I think he fits that fourth line model, and I think he'd be a great call up if Foligno is. Would unfortunately be hurt, but I mean, I get to toot my horn because I've been asking for Chase to get called up for a while now. So this will just be that that opportunity. And of course, when he looks like crap, I will never mention it again, and we'll be done. And then Matt will never get excited for another prospect or Grand Rapids favorite ever again.
I mean, are we? Just before we go to, are we about to pillage some garbage teams? Are we looking at like a Dylan Strome from Chicago?
I don't think we're at that point, right? Like we don't need to give up anything. We're not trying to.
I would
like
ask.
You do that.
I would ask. I would make a call. I'd you know, not a call, maybe a text.
I would say right now I'm not ready to do any move to fill out our roster when we have options in Grand Rapids, because we're not looking to make sure we stay in the playoff hunt. So, right, like if you go back a couple of weeks, we win those last four games, and we had done that the other four game streak that we were hoping for that would have given us a 5-game winning streak. You're talking about a 9-game winning streak, Mike, and you're going into Thanksgiving. And then Valeno goes down, you're without Mitchell Stevens, and now you're like, okay, this team has played at a level that's so great that they're on a 9 or 10 game winning streak right now. And now we just lost another center on this team. We need to figure this out. Yeah, then I'd do it. But no, not right now. Absolutely not. Right. It was a fun conversation a couple weeks ago, but no.
All right, I wanted to be buyers.
I'm not giving up.
I wanted to be buyers here on November 24th, but
well,
never mind.
It's the difference of like what do you need on this team? You need to fill out a roster right now. You don't need to be. You don't need to make sure it's still competitive.
Chase getting called up means we're still trying to go to the top of the draft lottery.
I think, well, here's the other thing. We're talking about the fourth line, okay? Small potatoes. I'm sorry for everybody that says.
Do we have a fourth line? I feel like we have
two
fourth. Three lines. Fourth lines.
So what's the difference?
We have a first line and three fourth lines. I'm trading for a center.
Look, if they were going to make a move, you're not making it now that your call up from Grand Rapids got hurt. You would have made the move before the season even started because you weren't sure about Puce. You don't know if Fabry can cut it as like an eventual alternate center. But
you know what, Matt? That is a real Steve Yzerman answer. I'm trying to do the NHL 22 answer. Okay.
Mike, if you're playing NHL 22 and you're making moves to fill out your fourth line, you're still screwing up. All right, just let the fourth line try and work itself out.
There's no future for this team. I'm just going to win the championship the first year, and that's it. I don't play in a different game.
I did win my first Stanley Cup, by the way, yesterday. So Edmondson was my...
Congratulations, man.
The NHL game has advanced enough that Edmondson won the MVP award while not leading the team in points or leading the NHL in points. But his defensive stats were the highest. So they gave the game has advanced enough to award the best defensive defenseman as. Yeah.
Wow.
As my MVP. Isn't that incredible?
That's a pretty woke game. I like that.
There's a lot of things that the NHL game gets wrong, but being able to have your best defensive defenseman win the MVP was pretty nice. I was expecting, I think I had like 14 points in 16 games for Dylan Larkin. And I was like, game's just going to give it to him because he has the most points on the team. But no, they saw that our whole game, we actually had a five game shutout streak.
Well, it looks like we're wrapping up this episode. Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to apply. I always take a dump on the NHL game. All right.
No, you just put soap dish into a coma. You should apologize for that.
All right. This is a terribly structured episode, but a good celebration episode. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And this was it. Mike, we're off for a couple of weeks now, and we'll be back. Yeah, in 2 weeks to do another live episode.
It's a long time. Yeah.
It's the holidays, my man. So we're going to enjoy the holidays. You guys will have some episodes that'll be coming up. We've got free agency, we've got prospects, and we've got our Mitchell Stevens episode coming out, especially for Tristan. So check that out, and I hope you guys enjoy. And whenever you guys want, pull a Tristan, DM us on Instagram or Twitter. Tell us if you want a specific episode. If you guys want to Chase Pearson before he gets called up, just let me know. We'll put it together. But until next Wednesday, everybody, have a good one.
Woo!